Gospel reading comes from Luke, chapter 4. Sorry, I forgot to. What is it? 21 through 30. Yeah, I got it. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today I'd like to tell you the story of about two children. The parents of the first child were somewhat mismatched. His father was unemployed with no formal schooling, and his mother was a teacher. This child, who grew up in Port Huron, Michigan, was estimated to have an IQ of 81. He was withdrawn from school after 3 months and was considered backward by school officials. The child enrolled in school 2 years late due to scarlet fever, respiratory infections. He was going deaf. His emotional health was poor. He was stubborn, aloof, showed very little emotion. He liked mechanics, though. He also liked to play with fire. He burned down his father's barn one day. He showed some manual dexterity, but used very poor grammar. But he wanted to be a scientist or a railroad mechanic. The second child showed not much more promise either. This child was born of an alcoholic father. As a child, she was sickly, bedridden, often hospitalized. She was considered erratic, withdrawn. She would bite her nails and had numerous phobias. She wore a back brace from a spinal defect and would constantly seek attention. She was a daydreamer with no vocational goals, though she expressed an interest to help the elderly and the poor. So, who were these two children? Well, the boy from Port Huron, maybe some of you know who he was, became one of the world's greatest inventors, Thomas A. Edison, and the awkward, sickly girl became a champion of the oppressed, Eleanor Roosevelt. Would you have voted either one of these two children most likely to succeed? Probably not. Ethel Armstead is one of millions of unfortunate people who live in a high crime neighborhood. Not long after moving into her neighborhood, Ethel discovered that numerous drug dealers ran their business actually right off her front porch. She had heard horror stories of the harassment or violence that was used to intimidate anyone who messed with these drug dealers. But Ethel didn't let that fear stand in the way of taking action. She wanted to live in a neighborhood free of drugs and crime. So Ethel began confronting these dealers. She was respectful, but firm, insisting that they move their business off of her front porch. Well, when they moved off her front porch, Ethel became a little bolder. Next, she talked them into moving the drug trade off of her block. After a while, the dealers began showing Ethel actually a measure of respect. In the winter, they actually shoveled her sidewalk for her. They also began calling her Mom. Ethel began taking an interest in these young man's lives, and she encouraged them to do something useful with her time, with their time, rather. She became involved in this community group that built playgrounds on abandoned lots. Ethel also started an after-school program to keep these kids off the streets. And she convinced the city council to redevelop abandoned buildings in her neighborhood. Her efforts are revitalizing her neighborhood. Only one woman, a mature woman, though, at that. But living in a drug-invested environment, going up against these young hoodlums, she took matters into her own hands, and look what happened. Geologists tell us that only 3% of the Earth's fresh water is on the surface in the form of rivers and lakes. The other 97% remains as a huge subterranean reservoir down below. So you're like, why? Why does that matter? Well, you see, the potential of human personalities are much the same. Only 3% on the surface, 97% below. So how do we tap that unseen, infinite reservoir? How do we bring to the surface the powers and the possibilities that our Creator has placed within each one of us? Well, one thing that we can get rid of, can do to rid our vocabulary of, are these three deadly words. They were the words spoken by a young man long ago by the name of Jeremiah, out of the scripture that Linda just read. God came to Jeremiah and said to them, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "But Lord," Jeremiah said, "I do not even know how to speak." And then Jeremiah spoke those three deadly words, "I am only. I am only." In Jeremiah's case, he said, "I am only a boy." Jeremiah would become one of the greatest prophets that God called. But first, God had to deal with those three deadly words. "I am only." Only a boy, and yet a messenger from God. It's a good word to eliminate from your vocabulary. Only a teenager, only a woman, only an old-timer, only a high school graduate. The world is full of people who did amazing things even though they were only this or that. Preacher Fred Craddock has a bone to pick with people who use this phrase, "I am only human." And when do we usually use those words? Usually when we have royally fouled things up. "I gave in to temptation. Well, I'm only human. I overslept this morning. I'm only human. I ate that last piece of chocolate cake. Well, I'm only human." That's our excuse for all the little flaws and failings we seem to do in our lives. But Craddock says that we need to reconsider this statement. The Bible says that we were what? Created in the image of God. So Craddock suggests that, excuse me, to us that whenever somebody we know does something right, Or when someone commends us for doing something extremely well, we should say, after all, I'm human. Because to be human is to be created in the image of God. We are God's masterpiece. So we should never say, I'm only this or I'm only that. A while back, I read about a lady named Ellen Terry. Ellen was living a quite comfortable life as a wife of a successful businessman and the mother of two accomplished children. But then one day, her whole life kind of went up in smoke. She discovered that her husband was deeply in debt. The family lost everything they owned. Ellen and her husband divorced. She became the sole support for those two children. She had no marketable skills. But Ellen Terry's father had taught her that you can only be limited by your thinking. If you think you can accomplish something, then you can accomplish it. Well, Ellen attained her real estate license, began selling real estate in Dallas. In her first year, she was ranked the number two salesperson in the nation for Coldwell Banker's real estate division. Today, Ellen Terry runs one of the most prestigious and successful real estate companies in Dallas. She says, I believe there are absolutely no restrictions on what you can do except the ones you create in your own mind. Success is a matter of being committed to excellence in whatever you do. She's right. Don't say, I'm only a homemaker, or I'm only a student, I'm only a janitor, I'm only a senior citizen, even I'm only a pastor. God did not make us for mediocrity. If we put ourselves in God's hands, we can do more and be more than we ever dreamed possible. God had these great plans for Jeremiah, but first of all, God had to get those three deadly words off of Jeremiah's lips. I am only. And you see, God has great plans for each of us. But we too have to get those three words off of our lips. I am only. Norman Vincent Peale tells about this young man named Mike. Mike's school's attendance grades were worsening. And he was developing this real surly disposition. He was exhorted, lectured, punished. But to no avail. Finally, he landed in the superintendent's office with the teacher's recommendation that he be expelled from school as unreachable and therefore unteachable. Superintendent talked to Mike, but was obviously getting nowhere. But then, to Mike's surprise, the superintendent said this. He said, Mike, hold out your hands. Mike, you've got wonderful hands, long and slender, but strong, which is surprising for your stocky build. Boy, you've got the hands of a surgeon. Maybe that's what you are intended to be. Get going, Mike, and good luck. He said nothing at all about punishment, let alone expulsion. It was genuine motivation, esteem, admiration. Mike became, in the words of that superintendent, one of the best surgeons in the land. All Mike needed was someone to offer that word of encouragement, to tell him what he might be. I think many of us need that same kind of encouragement. We need a friend who will say to us, I've got great plans for you. Well, we have such a friend in God. God sees possibilities within us that we never dream possible. If we believe in God, and if we believe in God's dreams for our lives, we can accomplish more than we could ever have dreamed possible. You know what? It can happen in the church, too. When you have a vision of ministry, don't allow people to say we're only a small church or we have only this small budget. Continue to listen to God and allow God to lead and to strengthen you. because all is possible, right, with God's help. Like Jeremiah, we can discover that rather than only a boy or only a senior citizen or a woman or a child of poverty, we can say, I am a child of God. Before I was formed in the womb, God knew me. Before I was born, I was set apart for something good and beautiful and noble. You see, to believe that about ourselves is to unleash a host of powers and possibilities. Like Thomas Edison, Eleanor Roosevelt, those two young people for whom nobody would have predicted extraordinary success, our lives can then become something beautiful and good. I don't care what our situation is. One thing a Christian should never say is, I am only a such and a such. I am only this or that. You see, we are all children of God. We were created in God's image. May we invite and allow God to work powerfully and miraculously through us. Don't say, I am only. Amen.